Here's a big question. What do we want judges and juries to do? Traditionally, it was judges and juries who decided on how punishment would be meted out to guilty defendants. The bench, the jury box, was the place for discussion of mercy, extenuating circumstances, the sincerity of expressions of remorse and regret over the commission of crimes. But from the 1970s onward, it has been politicians who have wanted to make those decisions by preempting the discretion of judges and juries with mandatory minimum sentences that project tough punishments as a matter of general politics, not specific circumstances in individual cases. Attorney General Eric Holder, in what may eventually be seen as a landmark speech, said this week that the political preemption of judges and juries has brought the entire criminal justice system to the brink of collapse. Has the Attorney General managed to reverse a pendulum that has been swinging in one direction for more than 40 years? Well, we wanted to ask a judge. Nancy Gertner is a retired federal judge for the U.S. District Court, District of Massachusetts. She's now a professor at Harvard Law School and joins us. Welcome.
Thank you. Great to be here.
So, first of all, what in your time as a judge did mandatory minimum sentences prevent you from considering? Irrational sorts of notions that you were not permitted to take into consideration.
Here's what it prohibited you to do. So the government would come in and say, this person has distributed X quantity of drugs. X quantity of drugs could have been distributed from the car in which he lived, right, as opposed to the car that he was trying to purchase, like a Porsche or a BMW. I couldn't take into account the circumstances of the man's life, how he got to that point, the extent to which he was living on the streets, whether or not he had a substantial record, all the kinds of things that as a lawyer before I became a judge and the kinds of things that judges before the 70s had been able to do, really more the 80s had been able to do, you couldn't take into account. And in the final analysis, the prosecutor sentenced, not the judge. And every judge I know had had the experience of learning about someone's life and then stepping back and having to impose a mandatory minimum sentence.
Now, the political momentum for mandatory minimum sentences came from the fact that prosecutors are elected officials, judges often appointed, although that's not exclusively the case. And prosecutors, as we've seen, have had an enormous influence in lawmaking in this country, being members of Congress, the Senate. Prominent political candidates have often come from the prosecutorial ranks. Do you think prosecutors have had an undue influence on politics in the United States?
Well, there's no question about it. With respect to state prosecutors, they are elected. With respect to federal prosecutors, they're appointed. But it's oftentimes a stepping stone to higher office. So your point is well taken, which is that the Congress is making law at the behest of the prosecutors. And what they typically would do would be, these were laws that gave the prosecutor a menu. You can choose this charge or this charge for the purpose of getting this person to cooperate. It was not because we thought that Mr. X deserved 15 years. You basically charged a mandatory minimum to get Mr. X to cooperate against someone else. And if he didn't, or if he was at the bottom of the totem pole and didn't know whom to cooperate against, he got that 15 years. But essentially, we created laws not because we meaningfully believed people deserved these sentences. We created laws that gave the prosecutors options. And if Attorney General Holder can reverse that, and I am hopeful but not entirely clear how he's going to do it, that would be a terrific thing.
We're talking to Professor Nancy Gertner of the Harvard Law School, who's a former federal judge for the U.S. District in Massachusetts, a district court judge. Judge, do you think Holder's impulse here is to sort of readjust the territory and basically realign things so that judges have more to do, lawyers have more to do? Or do you take his point that the criminal justice system is on the verge of collapse and that this mandatory minimum sentence is very much the reason?
I have scholars and lawyers and practitioners have said that the criminal justice system is fundamentally broken. And it's fundamentally broken precisely for the reasons that you're describing, which is to say that we charge having nothing to do with what the fair sentence will ultimately be, that prosecutors have untoward power, that judges are sort of standing by when a prosecutor charges a mandatory minimum. Holder is going to have a tall order to turn this ship around. He actually doesn't have control over the 90-some-odd U.S. attorneys. It's not a direct line of control. He has to be able to use his influence to get them to charge differently and take away their power, which is a very difficult thing to do. He has to work in connection with Congress, and there's a bill now pending that would give judges discretion. But the problem here is that a generation of judges has grown up over the past 20 years who believe that these numbers are fair.
That's interesting.
In other words, there are certainly some judges who, for the line has been raised about what you think is the fair sentence for some small nonviolent drug offense. So judges have to change, and the U.S. Sentencing Commission and local legislatures have to roll back this clock.
And that's fascinating because, you know, I was looking, if we could get sort of Harvard-like for a moment here at the end of the conversation, I was looking at political philosophers who talk about where faith in a criminal justice system comes from, and it comes from all sorts of theoretical elements, but ultimately it comes from the ability of the criminal justice system to deliver an individual, a face of an individual who looks at a defendant and takes into account their particular circumstances. And if you don't have that, if it's all just a machine, then you lose that faith. And if you lose that faith, it's fundamentally destabilizing to the entire society. Is that what's happened here?
Well, that's clearly what's happened here. The ceremony of sentencing in courts across this country became, how much did you distribute? What was your record? 15 years. It was not, are you drug addicted? Are you mentally unstable in some way? How did you get to do this? Were there other alternatives? And then we put people away for such a long period of time, and then we wonder that when they get out, they are dysfunctional. Imagine if you were imprisoned for 10 years or 15 years, what the world would look like when you came out. You wouldn't even know how to, you know, get a telephone line with a nameless, faceless person on the other side. I mean, it really requires a rethinking from top to bottom. And as one scholar said, you know, America's failed experiment in mass incarceration, we hope, is over.
Well, Attorney General Eric Holder wants to begin that process, a difficult process, as described by Judge Nancy Gertner, former federal judge for the U.S. District Court, District of Massachusetts, now a professor at Harvard Law School. Judge, thanks so much.
You're very welcome.